I'm sorry there's some confusion about the location. It's just it's a mess in front of our house, and we're doing work over there, and we were afraid that it would be difficult to get through. It's always difficult to get through. We're going to try. It's a shame to learn together and try to get through. That's all that we're trying to do, is to get through. Ma'usu Yeshuasi L'chanoel L'shabeach Tikkun based philosophy, Visham Toidun Ezabeach. We're saying those words since we can remember. Probably from a time that we can no longer remember. We're saying those words. Those words capture the entire essence of the yontif that we're about to enter into. That Hashem is our strength, the rock of our strength, L'chan no'el l'shabeach. It's so beautiful if a person is able to praise Hashem, to give thanks to Hashem. Tikkun Beis Tfilosi, we're waiting for the Beis HaMikdash to be built, to be established. And all that we're longing for is the opportunity of Visham Toda Nezabeach. So we will be able to bring you our offerings of thanks. Our tithes, according to Chazal, there's an opinion of Chazal that when Mashiach comes, the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Those are the kabbonis that we're going to be bringing. There won't be any more, we won't be sinning anymore, we won't need other types of kabbonis. We're going to bring a carbon tithe to give thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to thank Him. And that is the essence of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. It's Lahavdil Alef Alfei Havdalos, it's our thanksgiving. And that's exactly what the Braisa of the Gemara says. The Gemara in Shabbos, Lishona Acheres, Kovum Vasom Yom Tovim, Bahalal Ubahida. The Gemara doesn't talk over there about the candles. The Ikka, the essence of the Yontiv of Chanukah is Halal and Hodah. To sing Takarish Baruch Hu, to praise Hashem, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alanisim, it's Kidei Lahodos Ulahalo, to give thanks and to praise. The Rambam uses an extraordinary lesson with the Yom Tov of Chanukah. He speaks about Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chavive Hi Ad Ma'od. We don't find him using this term, Chavive, it's beloved, it's precious. Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, Chavive Hi Ad Ma'od. And therefore the Rambam writes, Tzorach Adam Lezorba, what's so precious about the Yontir of Chanukah and the Ner Chanukah? So the Rambam tells us, because the whole point of the candles and the whole point of this Yontir is to speak about the Nes, to sing, to tell over the miracle that Hashem did for us. Lahaisich b'sheva hakel, and to add b'sheva hakel, to praise Hashem, v'haydoy alone, to give thanks to Him, alanisim shosolano. Some of you were there last year when I spoke during Sefer Soimer about the Midah of Teferis. Some of you were there about the Midah of Teferis. The Zohar Kodesh and the Ari Kodesh teach us that this Yontif of Chanukah is for the singular purpose of repairing the Midah of Hod. The Midah of Hod. Hodaya, Hoda'a, which I'm going to explain in a minute, is the manifestation in our lives of this Mida Elokis, of this godly Mida of Hod, this Chesed, Gvura, Teferis, Netzach, Hod, the Mida of Hod, which we need to understand on our level what that means, the Mida of Hod. So, once upon a time, there was a place in the world where it was the most natural thing for us in that place to be overflowing with gratitude, to feel blessed and grateful. Bolu sha'ara b'sayda chatzereisa p'sihila. Hoidlo baruchu shma. Bolu sha'ara b'sayda means that Hashem invited us into the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, into that world of the Beis HaMikdash. And that place of the Beis HaMikdash is bolu sha'ara b'sayda. When you would enter into that place, it was so natural for us to feel grateful, to be thankful when we would come to that place. Therefore, wherever we read about the Beis HaMikdash, it's always connected to this midah of hodah, of hodaya, of being thankful, of being grateful. Pischuli Shari Tzedek, Ovovam, what? Odeka. Ovovam, Odeka. I'm coming into your gates, I'm coming into the Beis HaMikdash for this reason, because I want very, very much to thank you. Ovovam, Odeka. Vishon Nosir Shir Chadosh. All we're waiting for is that we should be able to come and to sing a new song. The song also is the song of Haidah, the song of thanks. So Hashem Baruch gave us in Golas a yomtiv called Chanukah. The Sfarim tell us that the most remarkable thing happens, it doesn't happen any other time of the year, that for these 8 days, the Beis HaMikdash comes to us. So the Sfarim all say that this is the Inyan of Chanukah, that we light menorahs in our homes, that we receive the hashpah of the Beis HaMikdash, of the candles of the menorah from the Beis HaMikdash, wherever we live, and the whole avira of the Beis HaMikdash, that was a place where Jews were koyrim u'mishtachavim, where we couldn't even express in words how much we love Hashem Zbach and how grateful we are to Him for what He does for us on Yisecha, shebechol yom imanu, which the bracha of modim, of course, is when we say Alan Nisim in davening. And that was a place of koyrim u'mishtachavim. So on Chanukah, Hashem Zbach says to each and every one of us, Ba'u Sha'ar of Besoda. I'm calling you, I'm inviting you in to the Yontiv of Chanukah. A Yontiv which is completely, completely devoted to being Megala, to reveal the Mid of Hod, the natural need of a Jew, and the natural character of a Jew, to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel thankful, to feel grateful for being Jews and for being Avdei Hashem. So when the Pasuk says that we say in Davening every day, Bo'u Sha'ar B'Soda, come into these gates, it means it's an invitation to enter into the world of Jewish thanksgiving, to enter into the world of the Beis HaMikdash in our own homes, in our shuls. The Beis HaMikdash Mamash is here, Chanukah. And because of that, we have an opportunity in Golus. Because even if a person has the schus to live in Eretz Yisrael now, Mashiach hasn't yet arrived. Hopefully will come Mamish any day, any minute. But it's still Golus. And the nature of Golus, I'm going to talk about why this is. The nature of Golus, the heaviness and the weight of Golus, makes it very, very difficult for us to feel grateful for what we have in our lives. It says in the Pasuk, Hayishienu Hashem Elokeinu, we're asking Hashem, Hayishienu Hashem Elokeinu. We need a Yeshua. Rabbi Shalom, save us, help us. Hayishienu Hashem Elokeinu. V'kabtzeinu v'hatzileinu min hagoyim, you all know this Pasuk, and gather us back. And save us min hagoyim, from the nations, from our enemies. And you know how the pasuk ends. La hodos l'shem kodshecha, l'shtabeach b'silasecha. So that we will be able to give you thanks, that we will be able to give thanks to your holy name. That means that the matziv in Golus, our condition in Golus, is that it's very hard for us to feel that gratitude that we need to feel, that we should feel. It's very hard for us. The description of Golus is that in this state of where we are now and how we are now, Lahodos, only then will be able to be Lahodos L'Shem Kodshecha, to really give thanks to you. It's brought down in the Sfarim that the word Amalek, Ayin, Ayin Mem, Lamed Kuf, those letters of Amalek, which is the embodiment of all that Golus is, that the letters of Amalek are the Sofei Tevis, the of the words from the Pasuk, Rak Ra Kol Hayom. Rak is Kuf, Ra, the last, the second, the end letters. Rak Ra Kol Hayom. The end letters of that Pasuk, of those words, of Rak Ra Kol Hayom, is Amalek. Why? Because The nature of galus is when a person himself is in galus, is that a person could be surrounded by so much good in his life, but he's only able to really focus to see the nekudas hashchayos. He's only able to take note of the difficulties, the nekudas hashchayos, the darkness of his life. He's not able to see all the good that he has in his life. And that's how Rabbi Nachman explains the pasuk. You know that the punishment of the snake, the Torah says, Nochash ofer lachmai. Nochash ofer lachmai, that the snake, its food is the offer, is the dirt of the ground. Nochash ofer lachmai. And Rabbi Nachman Sussiano explains that the curse of the snake and the influence that it has over our lives before Mashiach comes is that a person can be blessed with so many wonderful things, a wonderful spouse, a wonderful home, what to eat, kinderlach, children, einiglach. A person can be so blessed in his life. Well, all of the brachas, Rabbi Nachman says, the curse of the snake is that it tastes to the person like offer. With all of the good that he has, he doesn't taste the good that he has. It tastes like dust, like dirt. He's not able to feel a time in his life. A time. He doesn't taste how good his life is. That's the curse of the Nochash. Nochash of Alachmai. A Jew is called a Yehudi. A Yehudi means that it's the very nature of a Jew to feel hakaras hatov, to feel grateful for what he has. That's what the word means. A Yehudi is Yehuda, hapam oides Hashem. It says in Pasuk, amzu yatzarti li tihilasi yisaper. I created this nation, Am Yisrael, amzu yatzarti li tihilasi yisaper. We were created to give thanks and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the very nature of who we are. Amzu yatzarti li tihilasi yisaper. Instead, the curse of the snake makes everything in our lives taste like offer. We can't taste the chiyus. The snake is misa, is death. Nothing is alive. Nobody has a cheshek. You see that everywhere you find haidor, everywhere you find hakaras hatov and gratitude, it's always connected to being alive. Let me give you some examples. Chai chai yeducha v'yishapchucha. Chai chai. Someone who is truly alive. Chai chai. If a person's a lebedeke, he's be'emes alive. He wasn't bitten by the snake. Chai chai yeducha v'yishapchucha. To be alive as a Jew means a Yid, a Yehudi, is chai chai yeducha v'yishapchucha. Or what's more familiar to each and every one of us, we say it every day in davening, V'chol ha'chayim yaducha selah. Only those who are alive. Those who are alive, yaducha selah. They're constantly filled with gratitude and praising Hashem Shabbat and thanking Hashem Shabbat. V'chol ha'chayim yaducha selah. In the morning, the bracha, Kol zman sh'aneshome b'kirbi. Kol zman sh'aneshome b'kirbi. As long as I have a soul, I'm alive. I'm alive. Kol zman sh'aneshome b'kirbi. Moida ani lefanecha. We say these things every day. If I'm alive, kol zman sh'aneshome b'kirbi, moida ani lefanecha. Kol ha'neshome tahalelka. You have to have a neshome. And your neshome has to be active. It has to be speaking to you. It has to be alive. If you have a neshome and you're alive and it's speaking to you in neshome, the result of that is naturally kol ha'neshome is tahalelka. Praise. It's the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called Neshama Tahalelka. But if a person, Chalila, is not alive, if a person, I mean physically alive, but the person, something has died in that person, the Neshama is not active in that person, he doesn't feel. He could have millions of brachas in his life, and whatever you give him, it has a tam of offer. It tastes like dirt. tastes like the dust. It doesn't have a ta'am. So in order to work on this midah of hod, which at the end, Mitzvah Sham, we'll talk about a very practical inyan at the end. But in order to work on this midah of hod, we have to first understand what it really means. Just using the English word, gratitude, thankfulness, these English words don't capture really what it is. We need to talk about what Haidah is. Pnimi is to understand in a simple way, and in a very deep way, to understand what is Haidah. What is Haidah? There are three perusha. There are three definitions of Haidah. The first is, like the word that's used in modern day Eretz Yisrael to express thanks, which is an ancient word, but it's used in our exchanges, and the word is Toda, to say thank you. To say thank you. We had a big milestone in the Weinberger home today that our newest little granddaughter, Shana Malka, that she actually said thank you today. It was a big thing, and everybody was screaming. It was to me, nonetheless. I gave her a little water, and she just looked at me and said, thank you. And everybody's screaming and yelling, because that's what she was supposed to do, to say thank you. And I don't know. My wife is here. So to say that's actually, it's not our newest granddaughter. Sure, he had Siri Hashem. That's Tamima, but she's not talking yet. But but to hear the word coming out of a child, to hear that word, thank you. It's the two most beautiful words. Thank you. So on the simplest level, Hodah means thank you. Aleph, Beis. Hodah, of course, is a lashon of Shevach and Halal. To give praise. To praise, to sing Hashem's praises. The third definition is what we're going to be focusing on tonight, and I'm going to come back to it. But just by way of definition, Hodah means to concede, to admit. The language that we find very often in Chazal, in the Gemara, when you have a dispute, a disagreement between the Chachamim, when there's a disagreement, there are more seats over here. When there's a disagreement in here, when there's a dispute among the Chachamim, so we find very typically a lashon of a moedim Chachamim l'Rebbe Meir. In other words, there's a fiery disagreement in Halacha. Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are having a dispute. Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And so there's a disagreement between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And it goes back and forth. And ultimately, Umoidim Chachamim l'Rabbi Meir. Umoidim Chachamim l'Rabbi Meir means that there are two sides to this dispute, and each side does not fully comprehend the other. Each side, as it is in a disagreement, an argument, in a dispute, each side is holding on very strongly to its view. Each side is not identifying with the other side. Over cholzeis, and despite that, moedim chachamim l'Rabbi Meir means that in the Gemara, that with this understanding, with this acceptance and this concession, that the person who we're talking to is much greater than us. The person who we're talking to is much, much greater. A child with a parent. It used to be such an inyan. It's much harder now. But the person who I'm talking to is much greater, and therefore I'm able to concede defeat. I'm able to admit that despite my lack of understanding, and even though I can't really see that opinion, I don't get it. I don't get it. It might not make sense to me. But the Karim Umishtachavim, that bending over and leaning over, is an admission. That's what Haidah is a lashon of vidui, when we say vidui. It's an admission to the one who is greater, that even though I don't understand you, even though I don't know what you're talking about, even though I have to tell you, I'm so confused by what you're saying, by what you're doing, but at the end of the day, I mevatel myself to you. At the end of the day, I concede. Moedim menachna lach, I concede that you know what I don't know. And therefore, there's a surrendering of the self. Let me read you a sentence from the Kuzan Samagis Susilin, from the Sefer Avodas Yisrael and Parshas Re'eh. The Kuzan Samagis brings from his Rebbe, the Mizritch Magid, the outside was just the other day, it was on Monday night, Tuesday was the Mizritch Magid, it was the Yutes Kislev, it was the the Gula of the Balatanya, and the Mizritch Magid's outside. And the Mizritch Magid says the following. We're going to see more about it when we learn inside in a few minutes. The Mizritch Magid says the following. Ha'idah shayach al-dav shahayu b'yachasha. He says, what is the meaning of hodah? When is there a hodah? She says, "Haydar Shayach al Dov Shahayu Bay Hakhasha." First, there was denial, there was rejection. Hayu Bay Hakhasha, but Vachakach Ba Haydar. First, initially, there was denial and rejection, disagreement. But then, subsequently, eventually, Ba Haydar, there was Hodar. Moidim Mechlal de Pligi. And the Kosh Samagid brings from the Magid that Moidim, the Lashon of Chazal is Moidim, if there's an admission, if there's a concession, Mechlal, that means that at the beginning they didn't agree. That's why we have this Lashon of Moidim. Like a person says in the vernacular of in the Yeshiva way of talking and learning, that how Jews talk, that he's Moided to him. Right? Moida Mimixis, he's Moida. She'ef Shalachisho, Moida Machlad Pligi, She'ef Shalachisho. In other words, the Magid is saying that there is a matziv, there is a situation of darkness, of confusion, and one could very easily come to the conclusion, as many people do in this world, that either there is no God, or that God doesn't know what he's doing. Or that God is not right. Or if I would be God, I'd do a better job. Whatever the nusach is of that hakosha, of that denial, of that rejection. She'ef shlachisha. In this world, whoever wants to can reject Hashem. That's our choice. We can reject Hashem. We could, in other words, we could continue on with the dispute. We could continue on with the argument. Hashem is saying, do this, do this, do this, do that. Hashem says, I love you. But then you and I experience difficulties in our lives. We see things that don't make sense. And a person can come to the conclusion that I don't agree, or I have to make up some new religion, but I can't accept this religion with this kind of a God. Ef shalachisha. It is possible in this world to argue with him, to deny him entirely. V'loy maloyhu. Something happens to you in your life, and you could say, lohu. It's not him. It's the economy. It's because of the weather. It's because of any factor that could be used to explain what it is that's going wrong in your life or what's going right. She'ef shalachisha v'loy malohu. But one could say lohu, it's not him. So a person can do that. And you know what? His mind is telling him lohu. The seichel is telling him lohu. It's not him. Va'af al pichein hu moide bedover. Machmes Emunah Shebekirbo. And he turns himself around this person and he says, Afal Pichain, I don't get you. I don't understand you. I don't hear your argument. I don't understand what you're saying. And I have my own understanding, which is different than yours. But the person, because of Emunah Shebekirbo, because of the faith that he has within him, he's a Jew, he's a Yehudi, he's a Yid, Ish Yehudi. And because of that, the person bends his head over. Because if there's no disagreement, if there's no fight, then it's not shaykh to use the lashon of hoda, of moedim. It's not shaykh to use the lashon. So when there's a disagreement, there's a fight, and then one concedes. Sometimes you can understand. In other words, sometimes things don't make sense to you. You go to a shiur, you look in a sefer, and you learn, which is the most important thing to do. And the more you learn, then you realize, oh, I now understand. My argument was silly. My argument was immature. As we hopefully do when we grow up, we realize that arguments that we had with our parents were silly and were immature. Not all, but the vast majority of them certainly were. And we concede. So a person can become more educated and can learn more and more Torah. And by learning more, all of you have been in a very frustrating situation where you're discussing something about Yiddishkeit with somebody who doesn't know anything about Yiddishkeit. Now, you might not consider yourselves to be so educated, but when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know anything and they're telling you their whole pshat in God and their whole understanding of the world, and so you feel like you can go crazy. Right? Especially if it's a family member or something like that. You feel like you can go out of your kelim. Because what you're talking about, you don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? If you would learn, you would concede. If you would learn, you would admit. You'd be moida al ha'emes. But there are things that, like Rabbi Nachman says, there are things that come from the empty space, from the vacated space, from the Chalal Panui, that makes no difference. You can go to a million shiurim. No one's going to tell you about, no one can tell you what happened in Auschwitz. No one can come up, even though people have tried to do that. And I read every single explanation growing up, and they only made me more upset. All you can do is to surrender. Like so many of the people who survived, to surrender and to say, you win. I don't understand you. I'll never understand you. You're much smarter than me. You're much bigger than me. I could turn around and walk away from you. My seichel tells me to be finished with you. My heart tells me that it hasn't paid. It hasn't worked out. All of the Shemoneses, all of the Brachas, all of the Tilns, all of the Shabbases, that it hasn't worked out for me, according to what they told me when I was little. That if you're good, it'll be good. So my mind tells me that the program doesn't make sense. My heart tells me there's something wrong over here. Over Chalzais Shem Chaloi Shachachna. We can't let go. We don't let go. We moed them and achnu lo Hashem lakeinu. Well, like the vision of the Holy Vision is said in benching, al hakol Hashem lakeinu achnu moed them lach. We say in benching, al hakol, the vision is said like this, al hakol, more than anything that I have in my life, al hakol, you want to know what's most precious to me? Hashem lakeinu, that you're my God. Anu moed them lach. For that I thank you. More than anything that I have, I thank you for you. That's a hergish, it's a chush that a Jew has, that a Yid has, a Yehudi has. That's called Haidah. That's the mid of Haid. Now, we'll come back to that in a minute, and we're going to learn inside. We'll come back to it in a minute. There are symptoms of our difficulty in coming to the deeper experience of Ho that I just described. I tried to describe. It's impossible to describe, but I tried. There are symptoms. There are symptoms of our difficulty. They spoke about galus, not just living in galus, but being in galus, a person being in galus. There are symptoms. Why is it so hard for people? Many people, they find it very, very difficult to say thank you. And they might say it in a perfunctory, you know, they might say the words thank you, but you could see by how they act and what they do that they're not truly thankful. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to feel that way? Why is it so hard? It's wonderful to be thankful. It's wonderful to thank Hashem. It's the instinctive teva of a Jew. So why is it so hard? Davening is so hard. Most of davening is shevach v'hida, right? Most of davening is shevach. Of course, there's a part that you ask for stuff. That people could talk and say. But the shevach v'hida v'chalachayim yiduch hasela, it's so hard. It's so hard to say todah. It's so hard to say thank you. So the obvious reasons that all the Svarmalach and all the books and common sense tells us, Kaidim Kol, there's a koach in the world that's called Shikha. Shikha means what? It means you forget. It means you forget. Shikha, that comes to us from Amalek, Asher Karcha, Baderach. The koach of Shikha, that a person forgets. Person forgets. If a husband would remember what the wife does for him, if a wife would remember what the husband does for her, and that would be something that a person would live with. If the children would think about once a day what the parents have done for him, for her. But we forget. Aleph. These are symptoms of the deeper problem that we're going to get back to, that we were just talking about. Hide. Base. It's probably safe to say that years ago it was easier for Jews to feel that gratitude. Although I don't know, you know, we often idealize the past, but I saw that in people that I knew and that I know who are from an earlier generation. I think a lot of that is very obvious that Baruch Hashem, life is good for the most part. At least the physical circumstances, conditions of life are much better than they used to be. We're surrounded with chassadim. If the temperature in this room would be 7 degrees higher than it is now, or 7 degrees lower, we'd be having problems. But if there'd be an alti yid, a real old Jew from the old world sitting here, he wouldn't even notice it. He wouldn't take note of it. So when you are surrounded by Hashem's kindness, when life has become so blessed and so convenient in so many ways, so there's a klal that Chazal told us, Ein Baal Hanes Makir B'Nisai. Ein Baal Hanes. Even a person who has a miracle that happened to him, who is zeichet to have a miracle, Ein Baal Hanes Makir B'Nisai. You don't pay attention to it. You could walk right by, or you had it, but you don't think about it. Ein bahanes makir b'nisay. There's also a tremendous yetzahara that a person has, and this is much more powerful nowadays than it used to be. Also, to delude himself to thinking that kum tzemir. I deserve these things. Why shouldn't I? This person has, that person has. The first thing that any kid says when you say, I don't want you to do that, or I don't want you to have that, is what? Badyanki, Batsarulo, Badyanko. He has, she has. The ingratitude that comes as a result of a person believing, Shemagiyalo. Shemagiyalo. Kum tzemir. It's coming to me. It's coming to me. I always feel I always feel, and I don't say, I talk a lot, I'm on the phone almost every day with people, call to discuss names that they're, Mesh Hashem, they're expecting, and they want to discuss, hopefully, because Hashem will be a baby in a week or two. And the way the conversations often begin is, we're having a girl in 2 weeks. And then, you know, to go on, and, you know, we're not sure, because the grandmother, my husband wants, I want, who? And I always want to say, you should just stop, take that sentence, just say, we're having a girl in 2 weeks. First of all, I'm still uncomfortable with men saying, we're having a girl. Something about that, or, you know, I have guys that say, we're expecting. This has become like a very common lotion. This is, to me, this is. I would say it would be a compliment to just call it very silly. I think that it's worse than silly. But that's the lotion that they're using now. It comes up with all the silly lashiness. We're having a baby. We're expecting. I say, your wife is expecting, and hopefully you'll pay the guy for delivering the baby or the lady for the baby. Hopefully. We're expecting. Okay, it's sweet. There's no avla in that. But when I hear the words, we're having a baby in 2 weeks, you have to stop and to think, first of all, do you know how many people there are in the world that are chalishing to get married? And they're not married. Chalishing to get married. Aleph. Beis. Do you know how many people there are in the world that are married and they can't have children? People that we know. I know people who adopted children, and how many of these things haven't worked out. And even when it does, it's not your boss of Adam. And then people who have a child, how many children are not well? The guf or benefesh, physically, emotionally, how many children, Hashem Yirachem, are not well? Soon the special schools are going to be more populated in Chalila than the regular schools. How many children are not well? So, the way it's said in such a flippant way to say that, is that the word?
Yeah.
Oh, see how we think alike. we're having a baby in 2 weeks. Sorry. Yeah. And first of all, maybe it's not 2 weeks. You already know it's a girl. Not to even be tsanua, how to say it. Whatever it is, it's not. I don't have a taint against the person, but. This feeling of why not? Come to me. My friend had it. My best friend had a kid. Why shouldn't I have a kid? My best friend has a kid with five fingers on one hand and five fingers on the other hand. No, so my kid will also have 10 fingers. No, why not? It's not coming to me. I'm any worse than my friend. She's better than me. So there is this feeling, especially in a population that has lived off of others. Not like the early generations, that from the time they were little, they had to work very, very, very hard. And that's now, that generation is now growing up. In other words, these are now parents. We now have parents who, I'm sorry to use the word, who are ingrates. Parents who take everything for granted. Not just children, but parents who take everything for granted. That's a big tire. What I just said, there's a lot to talk about. But these are symptoms. You have a machlis ha-nefesh. There is a certain sickness, a machlis ha-nefesh. But a person, I've seen this also, you have certain people that they pride themselves in being completely independent. Ad kedei kach. That it's so difficult for them, or nearly impossible for them, to say thank you or to be indebted to anybody, because they so desperately are holding on to their atzma'ut, to their independence, to the feeling of I can do everything, I can take care of myself, I don't need anybody. There are many people who spend their lives being single that way, not because they haven't been able to find, because they can't live with somebody. They can't live with another person, because living with another person would be to acknowledge that I need another person. So some of these people do get married. Some of them are narcissistic or have other types of issues. And they do get married, but their marriage is only what they can get from the other person, not what they can give the other person. And the overall way of thinking is, I really don't need anybody. I'm completely self-sufficient. These people have a tremendous difficulty having relationships, being in a relationship with another person. Because again, being in a relationship is acknowledging some weakness that I gain from this relationship. So you have many, many children that they can't stand their parents. They're the nicest parents in the world, the nicest people. You have children that from an early age, now more than ever, from an early age, they already can't stand their parents. I hate you, this, they... They're rebelling, they can't spell the word rebel. And they're not even old enough to spell the word rebel. And they're rebelling, they're hateful. Because there's no one in the world that you owe more to. There's no human being in the world that you owe more to than those two people. And since these individuals, for whatever reason, to have this sickness that they can't bear, having to acknowledge their dependence on somebody else, to be moida al ha'emes, that I'm nothing without you. I have nothing, I am nothing without you. So because of that, many of these people would rather live alone. There's an old song that we sang growing up from two Jewish boys that live near me. And the words from the song, I am Iraq, but the words are safe inside my room, deep inside my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am Iraq, I am an island. Safe inside my room, deep inside my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am Iraq. I am an island. There are people, Hashem Yirachem, there are people who live their lives like that. There's a klipa of Yavan of Greece. The Yalka describes in an amazing way. You know, by the Paraduma, there's a din, by the Red Carol, there's a din that it can't carry any burden, right? It can't. The apostles, it makes it possible. So it says in the apostle, Asher Ein Bo Mum. And it can't have any blemishes, right? You know, the din, it can't carry something, and it can't have a mum, it can't have a blemish. So Chazal saying the Yalkut, Zem Malchus Yavan. Listen to this. Asha'ein ba mum, Zem Malchus Yavan. What does that mean? The kingdom of Greece. Now we're Hanukkah. Hanukkah is our war against Greece. Asha'ein ba mum, Zem Malchus Yavan. What does that mean? That means that way of thinking that's called Yavan doesn't mean you have to come from Greece, but that Greek way of life says, I am beautiful, I am good, I am wonderful. I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. Asha'ein ba'mum. You know how the Greeks worshipped beauty? How they worshipped the human form, the human image, but only beautiful human beings. Only beautiful human beings. I was in a car with somebody the other day, and he told me, I know this, you're all going to wince when you hear this, but he told me that there's a shadchan who called him up and asked him if he could send over the names of the pretty girls in his kehillah. And if you have pictures, you could send them as well. I think this person should be reported to the authorities. Who are the pretty girls in your kehillah? Because he has pretty boys for the pretty girls. And the mommies only want the prettiest girl for their choshev boys. So to please send over, so I said to this person when he told it to me, I said, I hope that you vomited on him when he said that. sorry for talking this way, have you even answered such a thing? What's become of us? Asha'in ba'mum. Asha'in ba'mum. Only the infinite one doesn't have blemishes. But Asha'in ba'mum zu malchus yavan. It's a way of thinking. It's a perspective of life. Even though you don't say it like that. I mean, except for this shadchan to talk this way. I don't know who he is, and I didn't ask the name, but if I would know, I would try to do something about such a person. Asha'in ba'mum. Zumachlis Yovan means, I'm beautiful the way that I am. I'm beautiful the way that I am. And not only that, I don't have to say shakol niyeh bedvaro. I don't have to say toda. I don't owe anything to anybody. Because all of who I am is within me. It's me. It's all me. Now, that's a churban, of course, of the Midah of Hod. All of these are symptoms. What I just spoke about the last 10 minutes, these issues of ingratitude. All of these are symptoms. The shayrish, the root of the sickness that we're describing now, goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. The pnimius of the Midah of Hod is Maidim Anachna Lach. Look inside the page that you have. It says side one. Look inside. I'll try to do this as quickly as possible. You might go 5 minutes over or so. But anybody who has to leave should not feel Khalila uncomfortable or embarrassed. This is from Rav Kluger, Rav Avraham Tzvi Kluger. We learned a piece from him last time, a few weeks ago. In Asicha B'chukecha. You see on the first page, the left column where it says Pnimi Yushod. You see, the left column, it says Pnimi Yushod. The first part we could do very quickly because we spoke about it already. V'hinei k'dei li'ikonis b'pnimi z'inyin ha'yantar b'chlol. He's to understand the yantar of Chanukah. U'b'yoy se b'inyin ha'hod and to understand the inyin of Hod. We're going to begin with the teaching of the Alter Rebbe. Now we saw this from the Mizrach Magid, his Rebbe, and with the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, of course, expounded upon the Torah of his Rebbe, the Mizrach Magid. But the Alter Rebbe speaks about this in many places. The Alter Rebbe speaks in many places about this inyan of Haidah La Hashem Yisbarach. When we say those words every day, Moedim Anachnu Lach, V'chein B'inyan HaKriya B'moedim, and the din that when we say Moedim, we bend over, we bend down when we say Moedim. Ki inyan Haidah La Hashem Moedah Ala Emes. The Tanya explains that Haidah is Moed al Ha'emes, to admit, to acknowledge, to confess, to concede. Kishnei Tzadim, Shahi B'nei Machlaikes, when you have two sides where there's a disagreement, a dispute, Ulubasayif Haidah Zelazah. And in a situation with human beings, so each one is Moed to the other, you were right about this, I was wrong, and the other one says, I was right, you were wrong, and so on. They have a reconciliation in Haidah. As we learned, Moedim means that there was a disagreement before, and now there's Haidah. That means that before the Haidah, they were apart. There was disagreement. Those letters just means in all worlds, all that exists in all worlds. This is what I was trying to explain before. That we live in a world of ha'alama. What does it mean, ha'alama? The world is an olam. It comes from the word ha'alama. What does ha'alama mean? Hiddenness, concealment. So ha'alama. That's why a person can in this world, can say, there is no God. Or, ein ba'mum, it's me. B'mokam ha'alama, she'ein goli ba ha'alukus bizgaya. Where elukus, godliness, is not openly revealed. Kfisha goli, you may turn the page over. As it is shining and obvious, by the Matzilus in the higher world, there, they don't have to be. There's no need of being Moedim in the higher world. They're just singing all the time. But there's no need of not accepting and then conceding or struggling and coming to terms with and bowing down in concession and admission and so on. In the higher world, it's everything's open. It means in this world where God is hidden, a person can come to the conclusion that it's kochi v'otzim yadi, it's my own strength, my own greatness, malchus yavan, ein b'mum, it's me, it's not God. He could reject God. And especially when even a person who normally does like to talk about God and considers himself to be a person who believes, But when there's a particular hestapanim that he's feeling his own life or her own life, then it's a bit of a challenge, or it could be a very big challenge, to still be moida that ain oil levado. There was a young man that he was supposed to come speak to me. There was an older bach that was going to bring him to come talk to me in yeshiva, that he was a very close friend of Nebuch, this boy Ezra that was killed, and this boy, the older bach, told me he wants him to come to me. Can I talk to him? I said, of course I can talk to this bach. He's very tzibrach and he can't daven, he can't learn, he doesn't want to daven anymore, he's finished. He doesn't want to daven, doesn't want to learn. Okay, he's very tzibrachin. That 6 million Jews died, he was able to put on tefillin. But that his friend died, there's no longer a God, you understand? Or no longer a God that I would like to talk to. So, you could be a big mom, but when it comes down to your own hastara that you're going through, it takes a tremendous amount of emuna to be able to humbly bow your head down and say, I trust you. You know what you're doing. You win. Not that you win, that you can do whatever you want, but you win meaning I can see that you know what you're doing and that it's good and that you're good and that you love me and that there's a tachlis, there's a purpose to all of this suffering. So you might go through a challenge and a difficulty and you can't bring yourself back to that place of, it's hard for you to bring yourself back, but finally a Yid, a Jew, is able to come to that, back to himself, to be makib b'metziyus yisbarach shamay. He comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zuhi hoda, that is the sweetest hoda that comes after sha'acha ha'pligi, after we had a disagreement, a dispute, after there was a distance between us. The person's mavatl, whatever I was thinking, whatever I said when I was reeling in pain and I said some of those things, I'm mavatl everything I said. Kol nidre, I'm mavatl everything. What I said. Because when I was hurting, I might have thought, I might have said something that implied, or I might have felt that there's something else that's running my life, there's something else out there, and it's not something which is coming from a loving, benevolent God. And this is expressed when we bend down and we say Maidim. If this is an external physical gesture that is expressing something much deeper in the heart, that a human being is mevatel himself, he surrenders to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the man stands up tall, doesn't mean physically a person should try to stand tall, but when a person is going like a Yevani, like a Greek, Shein Bomum, he makes himself into a yesh, kilu, he's something. Vata mekayfefel machnia b'yoyse botel ka'ayin mul mitziyusi yisbarach shemo. And by moidim, he says, moidim anachnu loch. He bows down, he says, moidim anachnu loch. V'kasha niva moidim shaylam kula yu efes gomer v'ayin oidim levad yisbarach. And the greatest act of surrendering, of haidah, of bittul, is when a person is able to come to that realization that everything is God. Ain't al mavada. There's nothing, there's only God. Everything is God. That's a very big avodah. It's all elokus. Everything is elokus. Nasas bitpnimius liba haidola kadosh baruch hu habar yomani kol abrum hu levada osu v'aisal kol masm. Everything is Hashem. V'ha'oilim kol anal. What comes out from all of this? She klipas yovan bo lasas me'agriya b'chinis yesh. The whole klipa, the whole filth and distortion that Yovan brings into our lives is to ki'ilu, I don't need God. I'm a yesh. Ein b'mum. V'zeshem etzim da'ivana partzu chames megdalai. And therefore we see, we say in the Moses Sur, Yivana nikbetzu alai as Ivan mechashman, b'partzu chames megdalai, that they broke down, they made breaches in the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Also Yud Gimel Pirtzes B'chaymes Heichel Beis HaMikdash, which Chazal tells, they made 13, Davka 13, Pirtzes, breaches, in the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. The correspond connected you gimel hishtachavoyis hainu shahisam l'chamter mitzonim l'haka mishosh yasmida sachno v'abitla klai yisal akashbo, because the 13 places of bowing down, I'm not going through that right now, what that is, Beis Hamikdash and bowing over, bowing down. So the 13 is because Yavan Greece can't bear a human being moide, having this midah of hoid, of haidah. By Yavan, everything is me. And therefore, he goes on to explain that the whole Inyan of Chanukah and the Baruch of Lahadig Ner Chanukah, we don't have time to read the whole piece, I'm just going to say very quickly another minute or two. And therefore, the whole Baruch of Lahadig Ner Chanukah has in there 13 words. According to the Rizal, you don't say Lahadig Ner Shel Chanukah. If that's your minute, of course you say. Ashkenazim say Lahadig Ner Shel Chanukah, but Sfadim and Chassidim say Lahadig Ner Chanukah. Not to have the word shell, so there should be 13 words. And there are 13 words, it's Lahadlik Ner Chanukah without the word shell. And the 13 words in the Baruch of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah correspond to the 13 pirtzes that Yovan, to the 13 breaches in our faith, in our belief, in our capacity to thank Hashem, to feel gratitude, to be moided to Hashem. That's the shorish of our difficulties. Is a chsar in amuna, a pagam in amuna, a problem with our amuna. And therefore he goes on to explain, look on the next side over there, that there's a yesod from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that the difference between the word geula, if you have a chance, then there's an amazing footnote he brings from the Basayin, both footnotes, once from the Basayin, once from Rabbi Nachman, we don't have time. But the yesod of the Baal Shem Tov is that, and it's really the Maharal talks about this at the beginning of Netzach Yisrael, is the difference between the word galus and geula, and the sheresh gaol and gala, is the letter aleph. And the Aleph is always Hashem. Because Hashem is Alufa Shel Olam. Aleph is Hashem, the master of the world. Elokim, Adnus, Aleph is Alufa Shel Olam. And therefore, the difference between Goyla and Geula, a person being in that state of ingratitude, of Golus, of being far, far away, of being consumed with himself, of not being able to say thank you, that's called Goyla. That's called Gimel Vav Lamed Hei, which is Golus. The Aleph changes Golus into what? Geula, into redemption. That Aleph, which the Baal Shem Tov taught, that Aleph means the following. It brings from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that when a person is in a difficult situation, and at that moment of difficulty, there's a Hastara, it could even be Hastara, Shabbosaych Hastara, and he's in a very difficult situation, and there's a halama, and because of that, he's at odds, he's having machlokes, he's feeling distance from Hashem, and he could be upset, and he could chalila reject Hashem. How do you change that gola into geula with the letter aleph? Like we say in the Shira, Omar oyev erdoif osiga chalek sholo. So you have the letter, the Hey Alphan, it's a very big secret in Kabbalah, the union of the five Aleph that are consecutive. In our war, Oyev, Omar, Oyev, Erdoif, Osiga, Chalek, that our enemies wanted to destroy us, and they said, Omar, Oyev, Omar, Aleph, Oyev, Erdoif, all Alephs, I will chase after the Jews, Osig, I'll catch up to them, Achalek, and we're going to take all of the spoils from the Jews. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said the following Yisod. It says in the Pasuk, the Navi says, Batzahir Chafili. That means that when you're in a place of gola, of golas, you have to do anything you can in that difficult situation that you're in to find the alufa shalom, to find the aleph. That means that when you're in a difficult, look at the left column, uchadivar Rabbeinu HaKadosh, we'll just do a little bit here. Again, I apologize. Uchadivar Rabbeinu HaKadosh, like Rabbi Nachman says in Kuf Tzadikei, shagam afilu bahatzara, ba'atzma, Hashem Zubach Ma'achiv lana. When a person is going through a difficulty, so that difficulty can close in on you until you, mamish, are not able to come to a place of maidan. The way to return and turn around and to be able to come to that place of maidan manachnalach is in the tzar that you're in the tight, narrow, difficult situation that you're in, find archava. Find a little pach shaman that's munach b'chayisim shulchan gol, find a little candle, a little jar of oil in that overall difficult situation. Like when David HaMelech said, when David HaMelech was thankful to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then he said, Mizmul HaDavid, what's the Mizmul HaDavid? Then when his son, when Avshalom was trying to kill him, so Chazal say, Chazal asks, Mizmul Adavi, Kino Adavi Bain. He should say Kino, he should say Kinas. Your son's trying to kill you, that's Mizmul Adavi. So you remember what David Mel said? If it would be somebody else, he wouldn't have any Rachmanis. At least when he kills me, he'll kill me with Rachmanis. It's a Madrega. But Batzar Hechavtali means, Ki imi stakal odom al chazde Hashem. If a person is mistakal al chazde Hashem, in that difficulty, to try to think deeply and to try to find in that difficulty a chesed of Hashem. Yirish afila beis Hashem is baruch meitzel. Then you will see that even when Hashem is giving you a difficult situation, gam b'hatzara ba'atzma Hashem is baruch marchiv loy u'magdil chazda ima. That Hashem, you'll find, and that's what Chanukah is all about. It's a bad time, bad situation. The Beis Hamikdash was a mess. Everything was tamei. There was a little jar of oil. But tzahir chavtali. You gave me a way to expand. You gave me a way to open up again to you. Therefore, no matter what a Jew is going through, Shemaya Yehudi, a Jew is able to hear a bas kol, a voice coming from Shemaim, Halocheshes Bozna, that whispers into his ear, Bechol Tzirosam Lo Tzar, I'm with you in your Tzar. Because when you locate that batzar here chavtali, the nakuda of or of light, the harchava in the difficult situation, then you're able to feel b'chol tzirosam lo tzar, b'chol tzirosam lo tzar. My father told me that that's how he survived in concentration camp. Al chasadecha shabachol yimimano. He said that he felt Hashem's baruch was with him in that place stronger. He said than anywhere else in his life, any other time in his life, he felt that. But Tzahir Chavtali, how it came out that he Davka met this person, and that person got him that, and he went there. So a person gets a kasha, which I asked my father when I was young. When I was much younger, I asked my father, so that's so great. Like, it'd be much nicer to not to have to see your parents get killed and get thrown out of your house and get schlepped off to some miserable concentration camp. And instead, you're telling me about all the chesedim that Hashem's Baruch did for you when you went to concentration camp, all these nice stories. And I was very angry about those stories. I didn't enjoy them. How Hashem, my father was the Hashgach has Hashem, the Baruch Shalom did this for me, did that for me. So it's kind of big time he did for you. It's not void of a Jew of Batsai Hechavtali, to hear that baskol. And when a person hears that baskol, b'zen nisayir etzla he'ora, Hashem tells you, the Shekhinah says, I'm hurting together with you. B'zen nisayir etzla he'ora ma'or ha'gondas. I'm not going to explain to you why you have to go through this, and that you have to concede, you have to admit, you have to be moid, you have to bend down and say, okay, you're the boss. Then from being a gaila in galus, then you're able to come to a place of geula. He feels a baskol giving him nechama. Hashem imcha, Hashem is with you. V'al tira, v'al tefachein. Don't be afraid. Al tech. Ki hu yisbarach imcha ve'etzlecha ve'karv lecha. Mamish, those are the words of Rabbi Nachman. Ki hu yisbarach imcha ve'etzlecha ve'karv lecha. Mamish. Mamish, he's with you. What's a simple of our that we could work on? I didn't leave enough time for any of this, and I apologize for the rush. What's a simple of Avaida? The simple of Avaida that the Tzaddikim say, and especially one of the big Tzaddikim of our generation, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, wrote a whole sefer on this thing, which is Meir Brochas B'chol Yom. Meir Brochas B'chol Yom, the Chazal and the Sakhalim should try to say 100 Brochas every day. But that doesn't mean the focus is on counting how many and counting the number. The ikar is, like David Melach says, Oida Hashem Chalibi, Oida Hashem Chalibi, Asapra Kol Nifle Asacha. So right now it's Chanukah, it's Yimei Hodah, and there's a tremendous hashpa that we should be able to come to this inyan of Tikkun HaHayda, fixing the Midah of Hayda. Maybe you and I could try something, and if we would just say once a day, if we would say a brach of Asher Yotza the right way in the Siddur, or to pick from the Birchas Shachar, Pekech Ivram, Matir Asum, a sentence from Sukkah de Zimra. The Swarm tells us that Meir Brachas B'chol Yom, that the Inyan of Meir Brachas B'chol Yom, 100 brachas to say out loud, and to say B'chol Libi. That when a person engages in that Avaida of B'chol Libi, then he begins to see, but Tzahir Hechavtali. No matter how dark things are, he begins to see Nekudos v'Nekudos Shalor. He begins to see little jars of oil wherever he turns. The Ne'er Brochus, I don't have time to explain it now, but the Ne'er Brochus is the Mafteach, is the key. And the Ikkar is not the number, and not to get hung up on the number whether you said 68 or you said 94. The Ikkar is not the Ikkar is B'cholibi, Oida Hashem B'cholibi, Asarpa Nifleisech, Oida Hashem B'cholibi. There's a person who put out this very sweet like workbook. It has pages in it, and it's not just for children, it's for adults. And to write down on that day a list of all the things that were on that day, chassadim, achasadach shabacholim imanu. They're not the skip that I'm seeing today. I told the chevra ma'isi here. I don't know if you were there. I think maybe I told the last time. I told the chevra that there was one of the here from the shul. It was a nice day a few weeks ago. And he was walking. And he was outside his house, rather, and he saw that there's a very old person, a survivor, who I believe is a survivor who lives a few blocks from here, by the children, a man in his 90s, Ogzon Zayn, and he was walking on the street, like looking at everything and like with a smile. So David, one of the Chavayims, he was nervous that maybe. For some, he maybe left the house without the aid, and he's walking around. You know, could be he was worried that what's he doing here, journeying around by himself and walking around. And he has he looks like he's so happy. So, when you see a Jew that's happy, you get scared, right? So he was wondering what's he doing. Yeah, right. So he asked him, Mr. So and So, are you okay? He says, I'm fine. He says, you want to go home? You want me to take you back? He says, no. So David asked him, you look very happy. Could you tell me what you're so happy about? So he said, I was born colorblind. And yesterday, for the first time in my life, I began to see colors. It's a true story. It just happened. He said, my whole life I was colorblind. I only saw gray, black, and white. And I can't go inside. I never saw any of this in my whole life. Every leaf, every flower, every tree. I can't stop. I don't want to go inside. But we take for granted. Hashem should help us. That we shouldn't make 100 brachas, we should make 1,000 brachas. And we should be zeichet to leave this miserable, godless, and to be zeichet for the gula shavamitis. May have your main and main.